Amen. And good evening to everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. How you doing? How are you doing? Amen. Amen. Those of you who are here this morning, you know that was the title of my lesson. How are you doing? And this is How Are You Doing Part 2.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Hopefully you got a little nap. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you got a nap. I actually slept for about an hour between service. I'm telling you, boy, I slept for about an hour, and that was a good hour.
Amen.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I don't know if we overuse this phrase, how you doing? I don't know if we overuse the phrase. I don't know if we say it as a question. We're not really wanting to answer. We just kind of say it, how you doing? But I hope we do say it to each other every now and then.
Amen.
We good at talking about ourselves, but sometimes we need to focus on another person.
Amen.
Yeah, and Paul, so often his writing is so selfless through the Holy Spirit. He's concerned about the church and about the members of the church, and I read over several of his phrases that he phrased to people, and I just tried to condense it in this. This is small. This morning we read 1 Thessalonians 2:17, but we brethren have been taken away from you for a short while in person, but not in spirit. And he was not with them physically, but he certainly was thinking about them. And he still was trying to hope that his teaching, his spirit was with them, and they knew that. And then he told them, I've been eager with great desire to come to you. He said, more than once, I've been trying to get to you. He said, but Satan stopped me. Satan hindered me. And we talked about that a little bit this morning, how when we want to do what's good, we want to do a good work, Satan just starts trying to put up roadblocks. And he does it. He does it every time. And we got to chapter three of 1 Thessalonians. But we also, I don't know if I made it at the first service or the second one of the services, that you know when this, the, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the original language, the Greek that the New Testament was written in, these numbers were not there, these chapters were not there. So you're just reading a letter. And so it is to flow together. And we get to chapter 3 that says, therefore, when we could endure it no longer. That's why, and we talked about our main preaching point this morning was having genuine concern, you know, not passive. You know, sometimes we say, how you doing? But we on the way. We don't even want to hear what person has to say. And we see that Paul exhibited this genuine, this is a leadership training for the leaders. And look, if you want to be a leader and you can't stand people, you don't need to be a leader. Because you know when you're taking that role, you're automatically going to be handling, going to be involved in people's lives, and people have problems. Yeah, and so don't, if you don't have no patience, just stay sitting on the pews then. I know we all working on ourselves. But he says we could endure it no longer. He says we just couldn't take it. And see, genuine concern is more than just talking. Sometimes it is just talking, but genuine concern will want to do more than just talk. And we know that. We know the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this letter to the church. So he wrote, first of all. You know, and some of us, we have in our mind, boy, I need to write, I need to call, I need to, but all we're doing is saying, I need to, and it never happened. It never happened. Lord, see, we're trying to grow, aren't we, in Christ, trying to grow in love for one another, and Paul says, he wrote them the letter, and he told them in the letter, he says, I couldn't take it any longer. I just was thinking about you, and we made the point this morning that what does it mean to be concerned? First of all, he was concerned about your faith, about their faith. Six times in this text, in this passage, six times he says, your faith. And so he was concerned about them spiritually. You know, yeah, you want them, you want everybody to have a roof over their head. You want folks to get a good education, have a good job. But more than that, we want each other to make it to heaven. Because some of us are never going to be rich. Some of us, you know what, maybe not in this group, but some folk going to have a bad spouse that's going to be a burden on them. Lord have mercy. You don't wish it on nobody. You pray for them, but they're just going. Just some folks are just sorry.
Amen.
Lord help them, Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? You pray for strength. You pray for endurance. But more than that, I pray that you don't go to, if your husband don't make it to heaven, you don't follow him where he going. Amen, somebody. Or vice versa. Vice versa. And so he's concerned about their faith. That's what we need to be concerned about. Concerned about people that we've led to Christ, their whereabouts, how they're doing, because we had a part in them. He said, Paul said in chapter 2, he says, and you are my crown. You are my glory. You are my hope. It gives me strength, although I'm in my affliction, to know that you are right and you still in the Lord. Yeah, and he said, I couldn't take it no more. And he says, we thought it best to be left behind in Athens alone. We sent Timothy. So he purposely sent Timothy. Timothy, you got to go back to Thessalonica. He says, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ to strengthen. I'm sending you Timothy. I sent him to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because I just been thinking about y'all. I know how the devil is, and you know, I know how. And maybe, I don't know, it seemed like Paul, he didn't know if they were ready. He didn't know if they hit ground. You know how you teaching somebody the gospel. Are you getting this? You should. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Are you getting it? Are you studying your Bible? And then you're away from them. You say, Lord, have mercy. I don't know if they were ready. But you're going to be surprised. Let's continue to read. He says, verse 3, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. And Paul is in prison. He's going through trials, and the church is hearing about this. He says, I don't want you to be disturbed by these afflictions. He's talking about his afflictions. For you yourselves know that we've been destined for this. He said, Paul, I told you when I was with you that I'm going to go through some trials. I'm going to suffer some persecutions. And one of the things one of the things that makes some Christians fall away is when they see so-called faithful Christians going through something. Yeah, you know, you see, you know, when we saw one of our faithful elders, Brother Bob Adams, for years, faithful, teaching classes and Bible classes and leading songs, and all of a sudden his health was stricken.
That's it.
And all of a sudden he couldn't be here any longer. And though sometimes you if you don't watch out as a Christian, say, Lord have mercy, Brother Bob gotta go through something like that. Man, it's just, you know, it weakens some Christians. You know, my dad longs to be with the body. Longs to be with the body of Christ. And you know, I say, Lord have mercy, you know, don't just spare him some pain. Spare, give him some comfort. But you know what? I also know that he was faithful in the Lord. And though it makes us ache, you know what? It need to make us stronger.
Amen.
To know that nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt. We all are in this battle. And Paul was worried. And he writes them this letter. He says, I'm going through these afflictions. I'm in prison. And I'm worried about you. And I'm hoping that you'd hang on. Listen to what else he says. He says, for you yourselves know that we've been destined for this. In verse 4, for indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it has come to pass, as you know. You know, my two preaching points this morning was genuine concern for one another. We talked about the crown of our boasting. The crown of our boasting was for Paul. The crown of your boasting is when you lead somebody to Christ. See, the greatest gift we can give anybody is the opportunity for eternal life. And when somebody obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, what you have put in their hands, what you have aided them, is eternal life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And to see an individual who that you have been a part of, whether it's teaching a Bible class, whether it's inviting them, and that you see them growing in the Lord, it boosts your strength. And Paul said, you my crown of joy. I'm in jail, things are going on, but you stay faithful and it makes me stronger. Amen. Amen. And he told them these things. And but the last point I had was this, I thought I was gonna do it this morning, was to brace for suffering. Is to brace for affliction. This is to us. To brace. I don't know, I had another word, is to make peace with your affliction. Make peace. Paul obviously if he can write this detail of a letter while he's in jail, you know, sometimes we fight our affliction. We fight what's going on and instead of finding our purpose in our affliction. And Paul's strength in his affliction was to not have a pity party. But his strength was to strengthen others. So now notice this. You notice Paul's line. His strength was to strengthen others because Paul knows that it's me today, but one day it's going to be you.
Right.
And he don't want, when you go through your affliction, he does not want us to give up on God.
Amen.
Yeah, he says amen. This. He says, for indeed, when we were with you, listen, verse 5. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith. He says, "This was just boiling over in my soul, and I was thinking about you." He says, "For fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would have been in vain." Yeah. I know. Tonight the soldiers are here. I know tonight we didn't accidentally fall in here tonight. I know we all want to go to heaven, but we all got to get ready for some affliction and for some trials and some suffering. But you know, it's one thing. We all know we're going to go through something, but how are we going to go through it? Peter said this in 1 Peter 1:6. He said, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, I'm reading from the New American Translation, because see, I don't know about you, but when I pray to the Lord, I say, Lord, if you don't have to send me through nothing, that's my prayer. Yeah, because I'm not one. I have a low tolerance for pain, and I don't like a whole lot of conflict, but I know that I'm not no better than anybody else. I know the devil is in this world, but I still pray, Lord, if I don't have to go through it, I can pass on it. I can pass on it. And he says, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Yeah, see, notice this. You remember Paul? It was necessary for God to knock Paul to his knees. You remember that before his conversion? Yeah. See, look at what God got Paul's attention, and he blinded him and knocked him to his knees. But he wasn't through with him yet. He wasn't through. That was to get his attention and get him to answer God. Now he's in the faith, and it was. Listen, Paul even said it himself. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation. This is Apostle Paul. He writes to the church at Corinth. And you know, God gave Paul some serious revelation. The Bible says that Paul got a people of the third heaven. Revelations that no man had ever seen. God gave revealed things to Paul, and he says this, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, that was given me a thorn in the flesh. It was necessary for God to give him some afflictions. And I think about that sometime, and it's, you know, some of us, God, you know, we all have gifts. Some of us have one talent. Some of us have three talents, two talents. Some of us have five talents. You don't watch out. If you got some talents, you start thinking you all that in a bag of chips. Yeah, you start thinking you got it going on and can't nobody do nothing better than you. And you know what? It might be necessary for God to get your attention.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just, you know, I you see. So be humble with your talents so it's not necessary. And but sometimes God can, you might be the best preacher, you might be the best song leader. But Lord have mercy, affliction still can come in your life.
Amen.
Yeah, we want all our children to be good, but sometimes they all don't turn out good. I don't care what you do, what you say, how much you bring them to church, one of those children can bring you to your knees. Lord have mercy. And I was reading this. I want to read this and I want to close. I want to read the rest of the text and then I want to close. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you. Now notice the trend. Notice what happened. He said, he writes them this letter. And I sent Timothy to you. The time transpires. And now Timothy comes and reports to him. He says, he's come to us from you. Now he's gotten back and has brought us good news of your faith and your love. And that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. Oh, now can't you see the energy? Can't you see Paul's spirit being lifted, that he was worried about them? He was worried if they were getting some of the stuff that he was See, sometimes we worry about folk too much. You know, sometimes you teach a baby, you teach a young man, you teach a boy how to walk, and you teach him how to ride a bicycle. Well, after a while, you got to let him ride the bicycle. You got to let him fall sometime. You got to let her fall sometime. And you just have to, the only way you're going to find out, they're going to find out, is to ride.
Yes.
And sometimes we worry about folk. We think folk are not as strong as they are.
Amen.
And it seemed like the church was stronger than Paul thought they were. And Paul brought, and Timothy brings him back this good, he says, he brought us good news of your faith, primary. The primary concern was about their faith. Their faith not in men, but their faith in God and God alone. Yeah. And then, you know, you got to have faith in God, but we got to love each other.
Amen.
Yeah, some folk are religious, but they just hard. You know, have no personality, no interaction with each other. Oh, Lord have mercy, we want to be a church that has the right spirit. We want to teach the truth, but we want to have the right spirit in the Lord's church.
Amen.
So folk will want to be a part of this family. Then he says this, and that you think kindly of us, and that you love me just like I love you.
Yeah.
And you sending your love. He says, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress, he's talking about himself, and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. Listen, verse 8. For now we really live. Now you done made my day.
Yes.
We really live. If you stand firm in the Lord.
Yes,
for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and complete what is lacking in your faith. How you doing, church? How you doing? How you doing? We hope that everybody's doing well. We hope everybody, we know everybody not doing well, but we hope everybody's doing well. We need to check on each other. Yeah, we need to encourage.
Amen.
Encourage each other. And we need to love each other.
Amen.
We need to love God first and keep our faith in
Amen.
God. I don't care what happened, we keep our faith in God.
Amen.
And trust God. When we're going through our afflictions, we don't have to let everybody know that we down and out.
That's
everybody
right.
know that we crying.
That's
Be
right.
concerned about others even in our affliction.
That's right.
Brace yourself. It's just for a little while.
Amen.
We hold on to God, things going to get better. You here tonight, you're not a child of God, you need to be. You come by faith. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13:3-5. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. God will add you to his family, to the church that you can read about in the Bible. He only
Amen.
Has one family. He wants the whole world to be in his one family.
Amen.
So we can encourage and love each other. And that's what we're preaching and that's what we're teaching. We don't apologize about that.
Amen.
God wants everybody to be in his family. What family is that? It's the family of God. It's the church of God. It's the church of Christ. It's the church of his dear son.
Amen.
It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of heaven. All these names come right out of the Bible. And that's what God wants us to be a part of. And that's what we're trying to be here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We know other people do other things, but we're just trying to do it God's way.
Amen.
Always adding to his family. You see these chairs in here? We got some room for you.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody come to Christ tonight. If you have a prayer request,
amen,
we'll pray for you. Come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the...